We're starting a new series, and for the next few weeks, we'll be talking about essentially our thought life, or the things that go on in our heads. And we want to address a couple of things, because one of the things that we really realized is what goes in our heads, or the way we think, so often affects our behavior, our attitudes, the way we deal with things. And for a lot of us, we're dealing with so many different kind of issues right now, or different perspectives, whether it's being really stressed out at work, or being really tired at home, or trying to figure out what's right, or just watching a lot of television and finding how that's really affecting your thinking. And so that's kind of what we're going to be starting the series on. So we're talking hopefully about anxiety, fear, how to manage these things and not let yourself be worn down by it. Because actually, the God that we have really desires something very different for us, a very different way of kind of thinking and approaching the way we live today and how we deal with these sort of things. And what we're going to start with today is our first of the series. It's actually called Garbage In, Garbage Out, which is... It's actually, they use it in programming terms to also know about like what kind of programming you put in, what kind of stuff comes out. And what we're going to start off with, or I'm going to attempt to do, is something with a sponge. So I've brought a Tupperware, and
I brought two sponges.
These are new sponges, actually. I was going to bring a really big sponge. Then I thought, oh, I have to pour a lot of liquid in there to make this thing work. Now, this is a very simple object lesson, and I probably could have just described it, but I felt like, you know, just the visual representation of it would make it so much better. And I brought gloves that I use for cooking and handling meat, but I forgot them. So now my hands are going to be gross. Just keep that in mind before you come to communion. So I have two jars here. Wow, look, Young Bong's like, I'm all up for this. Yeah, like, this is, should I smell it? This is just dark soy sauce and a lot of water. Because I discovered you only need a tiny bit of dark soy sauce to make clear water very black. But my point being, so dramatic. I'm so weak.
No, I don't need help.
What's funny is I put this lid on myself. What would be really bad?
Don't spill it. Don't
shirt. So much drama.
I don't need your pity claps, okay? Seriously, so shameful. I'm going to open this one.
This is actually vodka. No.
So... my point being is actually for a lot of us, we're very much like sponges. What we take in this world, what we think about, how we, you know, what kind of goes into our brain, we really soak it up, really soak up the way we just take in things around our surroundings. One of the examples I have are when I play video games too much, like a particular video game. I think back in the day, if you might have played Tetris, after you play Tetris for a little while and then you close your eyes, you still are playing Tetris in your head. The other game that I used to play is Unreal Tournament, which is an early predecessor of something like Overwatch or Destiny for you newer kids. And afterwards, we would walk through the city and we would imagine we'd be like shooting things and we'd run and we'd jump and we'd pretend like they're those things. Right now, my kids are playing Mario Odyssey and they run around the house like they're Mario. So it's these things, and it's very subtle because you don't, when you're playing the game, you're not thinking about those things, but slowly it starts seeping into your thinking, into your attitude. Now, obviously, this is not very complicated, but when I pour black soy sauce onto this sponge, it's going to soak it all up, isn't it? Unless it'd be awesome if I was a magician and I could make it so it's not. This is a very plain, straightforward object lesson. The object lesson sounded much better in my head. It's okay. I have another picture that will also help explain this better. And it's only a picture, no demonstration. This is tea. Okay, so, or it's not actually tea, it's just a picture of some tea on the shelf. But if you leave your tea bag in there for 10 seconds, it turns this color. 30 seconds, 9 seconds, 240 seconds. And for some of you guys, are like, yeah, this is exactly how strong I like my tea. Again, the same thing is when our thought life or the things we're taking in our world, what comes into our mind, if it's ruminating or staying in there for so long, it really begins to stain or affect you know, actually the right way of looking at the world or the right way of thinking about the situation. And the more that you are stuck in that, the harder it is to remember what color or where you're supposed to be. And I think this is one of the big challenges that all of us have. What is the stuff that's going into our heart? What's the stuff that's going into our mind? And actually, God, what is it that you desire it to be? In Luke chapter 11, verse 34, it says this: "Your eye is the lamp of your body. When your eye is healthy, your whole body is full of light. But when it is bad, your body is full of darkness." This beginning of this Thought Life series and this beginning of talking about garbage in, garbage out is actually really stopping and asking God, God, what are the things that I take into my life through my senses, through my situations? And what color or what things is it doing to my soul? What am I letting those things do to my soul? And actually, God, is that right? Do I need to look about these things differently or think about these things differently? It's amazing because it's so quick the way it happens, the way our perspectives shift because of the way the world teaches us different things and how much it can really influence us. Negatively, or even sometimes there are some good things that the world offers that's positive as well. But again, it's really asking God to help us understand what is right and what is good. This passage in Romans, I think, helps flesh it out a little bit. For those who live according to the flesh set their minds on the things of the flesh, but those who live according to the Spirit set their minds on the things of the Spirit. For to set the mind on the flesh is death, but to set the mind on the Spirit is life and peace. For the mind that is set on the flesh is hostile to God, for it does not submit to God's law. Indeed, it cannot. This is really painting out a spiritual battle between the Spirit of God and the flesh, or what your fleshly, earthly desires are. And this world is always trying to sell you something different, sell you something better, trying to make you a promise that is not going to fulfill you, or else you're being challenged in different ways. One of the things that happens quite often now online that we really face is trolling. It's when someone writes a comment to make you angry so that you'll want to respond back to them. And this is really the sense of, I need to defend myself because this person is such an idiot and they're really trolling me into response. Now, that happens, that's fine. The problem is when those words, those trolling, get so put into your head that you can't get rid of it. It affects your spirit, right? It affects your attitude. It affects the way you treat other people. Another thing that you might imagine this is when someone criticizes you at work unfairly, or something happens at work that's really unjustified or unfair. And it just brews in you, isn't it? Like a tea bag in your life. It just gets more and more dark. And it makes you angrier and angrier. And actually, we have to really stop and say, actually, God, is that what you desire from us? Is this the right way that we're dealing what's coming into our life? See, the spiritual battle is this, is your flesh is trying to say, yeah, that's wrong. You should be angry about it. That person's stupid. That person's an idiot. You know, you should do it this way. And it wants you to lash out in that kind of negative way. It wants you to take things into your own hand. And God on the other side says, no, you've got to really focus on Him, on Jesus. You've got to really ask the Holy Spirit to teach you, what is the right way to approach this? Why am I getting so incensed about this? And actually, God, where are you in this whole picture? Our hardest part for us is we don't know how to actually stop and listen to the teacher who's teaching the right things. Because when we get riled up, or when we're so used to taking in garbage from the outside, we're quick to move into action, into doing something that is not right, that is not healthy. A lot of this happens in different ways. The way we look at different images on the computer, on the television, or things you watch on Netflix or Amazon Prime or on iPlayer. You have to understand how pervasive and how powerful they are. Great British Bake Off, I think, ended this week. Yeah, it's like the final. And it's really funny because I think baking sales and people who believe they can baking has really gone on the rise. I think more people have tried baking this over this series of Great British Bake Off because of these things. You people are trying to make their marble top cakes or trying to buy Dr. Oetker's, even though I've seen that commercial so many times, I don't know how to pronounce it, icing things. Because you've been persuaded very subtly and very gently that this is something you can do. Now, that's not a bad thing. I think more baking is good. I'm all for baking. I'm all for baking, bringing it to me and letting me eat it. I'm definitely a proponent of baking. But the point is, you can see how subtle a lot of these things are in your life. Now, are there things which are more dangerous that affect the way we think, how we treat or view different people or different races? When we talk about race issues nowadays, we can see that a lot of that is because of what garbage you've taken in and how you project that outwards. It's like we were driving in Birmingham, and we drove past this Mercedes, and there was a black guy inside the car, and immediately the mother who was driving the car locked the car doors because there was a black man in a Mercedes. And I think the friend that was with me says, "You know that car is actually worth more than our car, so there's no way that person's going to jump out and kill you to take, you know, our little Toyota Camry when they're in the Mercedes." But there's that kind of attitude. Now, the attitude is one thing for that person. Before children or people in the car, they begin to see that and it becomes normalized. Like, yeah, actually, we have to be a little bit more on edge when there are people of different ethnicity around. Very subtle. Another way is the how we view women or how we view men. And we can say, you know, okay, well, the pornography industry or the sex industry, you can quibble and quabble about the legal boundaries of those things, but actually that begins to affect how we see the other person. Whether we treat them as objects, whether we only desire certain things out of their life, or whether we see it as God desires. Now, you see, this is the worldly, fleshly kind of perspective, which is like, yeah, they're there for your pleasure. They're there for your satisfaction. And God's perspective is, what does my spirit say? That these are precious children of mine? That you should love your neighbor as yourself? That you should honor these people above yourself? That you should show grace and hospitality to them? You understand, right? If we desire to have God so much in our life, if we desire to have his spirit, we really have to say, God, in your teaching, Jesus, in your word, what are the truths that you really want to take root in our heart? And what are the lies that we're believing instead? I think for a lot of us, we have tea bags left in our heart in certain places. And it's making that area darker and darker. And we don't want to just scoop that tea bag out and dump it out, but we want to leave it in there because we're used to it. And that's the flesh really saying, yeah, that's fine. But God is really saying, no, you should really get that out, and we really need to replace that dirty water with his clean and living water, with his true Holy Spirit's life. It's learning to listen to the Spirit versus listening to the flesh. Turning away from the old way of thinking. Now, this is something we're going to explore over these next few weeks, how to combat negative thoughts, turning our way from the fact that we might think we're failures or useless, dealing with anxieties and fears. But today, the starting point is really saying, God, what garbage am I letting into my life through my eyes, through my ears, and what things do I need to stop and cut out? My story is, and I've shared this a couple times, is there used to be this television show on that was very popular among women. You know, because all the advertisements were geared towards women. But it was actually called CSI. Believe it or not, CSI is very popular among women. I think it's because they love solving mysteries. Now, CSI is a great show because you have people staring off in the distance and putting on sunglasses. It's very cool. But it's basically a criminal, I don't even know what it means, criminal scene investigation. Is that what it is? Right, and then they go into these really high-tech labs with blue neon lights because that's a very good work environment to use their centrifuges and stuff like that. But this show was also a really helpful tool to learn how to kill someone and try to cover it up because they would show a gruesome murder and then they would show what you need to do to hide it so the CSI team can't find out. Strange. Anyways, there was one episode I watched and it was really grisly. And it's not the worst thing I've ever seen. It's still on regular television, so I would say, well, it can't be that bad. But what happened was, that night, when I went to sleep, I had really bad, not nightmares, but just really horrible, violent dreams. Now, I'd watched plenty of other episodes. None of this had ever happened. But this time, it was really dramatic. And I woke up like feeling very unsettled, feeling like, ah, this is really bad. And the only thing I knew what to do was to pray and say, God, you know, what's going on? And the first thing that popped in my mind when I asked God was, you know, that CSI episode, you probably shouldn't watch that. Now, here's the dilemma. I already watched it, though. What can I do? I'm not going to be the endless sunshine of the spotless mind, right? Endless, yeah, eternal sunshine of the mind, right? I'm not going to be able to go back and wipe my memory. So I said, well, what do you do in this case when you've seen something or you've done something that you're not, that isn't right, and God convicts you afterwards? How do you deal with it? The amazing thing is, because the Spirit itself gives us life, is you can stop and say, God, I'm sorry. I'm sorry that I watched that, that was not right. Will you forgive me? Second thing is you just say, God, in your forgiveness, can you remove this from my life? Because your desire is not for me to be tainted with this teabag that's staining up my life the whole time. Can you remove it and let me be restored with your peace? Now, if you're just purely psychological lover, you're saying, Bert, that's not really going to work. Maybe the placebo effects gives you a little bit of rest, but you know, it's probably just going to give you that comfort. Actually, the exact opposite happened. The Lord's Spirit is so true and so powerful. I went right to sleep. I didn't have any bad dreams. And I cannot remember for the life of me what actually happened in that episode. I don't remember the crime. And I don't also want to go digging up trying to find it. I'm not going to go on YouTube and try to find it, because I understood. Actually, God, thank you, because you are restoring my mind. You're renewing it. And you're helping me learn what garbage there is, and how to protect myself from that. This is really important, because all of us need to learn how to do this. Because there's more and more media out there. There's more and more things that we're going to do by mistake that we really need to ask God, God, will you forgive me? Will you turn me away from this thinking? And will you give me fresh eyes again? Because we really need to be asking God, actually, God, if your desire is for us to live this way, burn that into my heart. Change my heart of stone into heart of flesh to have you saying the truth. It'll affect the way we treat our husband or our wife. It'll affect the way we teach our children. It'll affect what we decide that we watch on the internet. Before that YouTube video, that rabbit hole that you've been down, you realize, actually, I think that crossed a line and I don't want to go back there again. You know, I don't think that was appropriate. That's bringing fear into my life or bringing paranoia. And in fact, there is no joy in that. There is no goodness in this. The passage in Romans goes on. It says, you, however, are not in the flesh, but in the Spirit. If, in fact, the Spirit of God dwells in you, anyone who does not have the Spirit of Christ does not belong to him. But if Christ is in you, although the body is dead because of sin, the Spirit is life because of righteousness. If the Spirit of him who raised Jesus from the dead dwells in you, he who raised Christ Jesus from the dead will also give life to your mortal bodies through his Spirit who dwells in you. And he's talking in two senses here. One is the eternal promise of resurrection that we have through Jesus Christ, this new life, but also for the here and now, that he is resurrecting your mind from the dead way of thinking into his way of thinking. The most powerful thing about this thought life issue that we're going to be talking about for the next few weeks is the reality that the power of God transforms who we are now into who he desires us to be, the best that we can be, the way that he designed us to be. It's not based on potential. It is the actual power of God and his Holy Spirit that brings that to life. How amazing is that? How different then can we say that, actually, God, yes, I really believe that you have the power. So change the way I think, change my approach. God, close my eyes to the things that are wrong. Help me be wise to understand what is true and what is not. God, let me discipline myself so that I don't walk down these roads that I know are bad. Instead, let me walk down the roads that I know bring you glory. It is this idea of living for God, that whole picture of why did Christ do this, is for us to live in him. Now, that passage that we opened up with in Luke, actually the context of that makes this whole thing come together. No one, after lighting a lamp, puts it in a cellar or under a basket, but on a stand, so that those who may enter may see the light. Your eye is the lamp of your body. When your eye is healthy, your whole body is full of light. But when it is bad, your body is full of darkness. Therefore, be careful, lest the light in you be darkness. If then your whole body is full of light, having no part dark, it will be wholly bright, as when a lamp with its rays gives you light. The opening line to this is this says, "No one lights a lamp and hides it." Jesus' death on the cross and his resurrection and him calling you to follow him, that is him lighting your life up. He's the one that lit that lamp. And he didn't light it so that you could be hidden under a rock or something. He didn't bring you to life so you can say like, yeah, oh, just go ahead and be dark. Just go ahead and do whatever you want to do. Rather, he chose you and he lit you and he set you apart and said, I have put my spirit in you to bring you to light. So stop letting your eyes take in the darkness. Stop letting that darkness fill your life up. In fact, imagine the joy and the power when you realize, you know, there is no more darkness here. You know, that beautiful picture of just not being self-conscious or fearful or quick to angry or not being able to tell what is right or wrong. Being able to resist temptation because you know actually that's not the right way to walk down. Having the self-control to say like, actually, yeah, I'm not going to watch this or I'm not going to do this. Being more patient with those people around you. That is the light that God wants you to have. In fact, that is the light that God has given you. And we keep leaving these tea bags in, or we keep dipping our sponge into dirty soy sauce and ignoring the fact that actually God desires and yearns to do something very different in our life. See, in society, you can't just be good just by your own merit. You'll never be good enough. And one of the ways we know that is that as our society moves more and more towards an open atheism, they're struggling more and more with how to decide what is morally right. Where is the line drawn? How do you say this is okay? And it's struggling because it doesn't know. It cannot see the difference between the dark and the light anymore. We need God more and more, and his promise for us is to say, you know, I will forgive you your sins, and I will fill you with that pure and living water to be a blessing to those around. To end with, these are some really helpful tips. When you come to something, and you're either it's too late or just before, you just ask God, is this okay? And if it's too late, you've already stumbled into it, and you feel bad, you know that's wrong, you say, God, I'm sorry. And sometimes you also have to ask God, is this too much? Have I been going down this road too much? Do I need to turn around? Do I need to change my perspective? St. Augustine, one of the early church leaders, he has this prayer about the Holy Spirit. And I've shared this before in the congregation, but I find that this is one of the prayers that really helps me understand both God's working of the Holy Spirit in our life and also God's desire for who he desires us to be. And let me read this out. Breathe in me, O Holy Spirit, that my thoughts may all be holy. Act in me, O Holy Spirit, that my work too may be holy. Draw my heart, O Holy Spirit, that I love but what is holy. Strengthen me, O Holy Spirit, to defend all that is holy. Guard me then, O Holy Spirit, that I always may be holy. I think that as that prayer, it really points to this idea, you know, God, your holiness, your perfection, your beauty. Let me desire that more and more. And not just that, Holy Spirit, make it true, make that happen. If you want now, I think I'm going to read this out again. If this is something, the prayer on your heart, and this is something that you desire, just pray along with this as well. Not just silently, just pray along with it. You can just say it quietly where you are, but say it out loud, really, to let this just ring true in your heart. So let me read this out. Breathe in me, O Holy Spirit, that my thoughts may all be holy. Act in me, O Holy Spirit, that my work too may be holy. Draw my heart, O Holy Spirit, that I love but what is holy. Strengthen me, O Holy Spirit, to defend all that is holy. Guard me then, O Holy Spirit, that I always may be holy. Let's pray. Lord God, actually we know that in our lives we let so much muck in. We are prone to desire just being entertained. We are blind to the needs of those around us, Lord. We can often be so selfish or so cold-hearted. Lord, the way we view the opposite gender might be tainted with our own selfish desires. The way we look at other races, Lord, has been charged with our own cultural baggage. God, will you teach us how to see the world as you see it? Will you change the way we let things into our life? Lord, will you show us how to close doors to things that are wrong and open doors to things that are right? Will your Spirit really guide us and make us so hungry for holiness that you really lead us on that path, Lord? Will you shape us more and more into your image? And Father, we confess our sins to you. And Lord, we lay down the things that we've looked at that are not right, the garbage that we've let into our lives, the wrong thinking or attitudes or voices that we have believed. And we reject them now and say, Lord, we are sorry. Instead, will you fill us again with your righteousness? Will you let your light push out that darkness, shine it into every nook and cranny in our life? We thank you, Lord, because you are the faithful and true one. We praise you and we seek you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.